ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रम् अत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमरुपुरीं माधुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रतितकृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतःपरकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। In the Mangalacharan, start off with our own position down here in this world and trying to catch the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas, and then offering our obeisance up to the highest level, to that of Radha and Krishna with their associates Lalita and Vishakha. I've been speaking about Shakti of the material world, the material energy, personified and non-personified. So I'll continue on that, down to earth, not up in the spiritual world, very much in this world. And naturally, when the topic of Shakti worship arises, then we have to consider the Shakti Pitams or Pitas. In this world, the sitting place of Devi. Shakti means power, and Pita means a sitting place. So seats of power, we may say, for instance, that Washington, D.C. is the seat of power in the United States of America, or the, you might have said in Bombay that the residential house of Bal Sahib Thackeray is the seat of power, where the actual, it's not in the legislative assembly, that's where the actual power lies. So we may talk about a seat of power. But the power behind everything, well, Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, where do you get your power from? Hiranyakashipu worshipped Brahma and got power. And Prahlad answered that the source of my power and the source of your power is the same, Vishnu. And Hiranyakashipu didn't like to hear that. So people who don't like to hear about parastasmatu bhavanyo, beyond this material world, the source of all power. Tejas tejas vinamaham balang balavatang chaham. They don't want to hear about that or know about that, or they're just not sufficiently intellectually or spiritually developed to have any attraction for that. They are interested in the power of this world, who manifests herself in the Shakti Pitas, the sitting places, or the holy places, the holy places connected with Devi, Shakti, Amman, and so many names are there. How they manifested in this world is that Shiva Bhagavan, on hearing that his wife had, due to the atrocious behavior of her father, she had self-immolated and left this world. He became so distraught and so furious that he took her body. He must have been charred body, or maybe not, because she is, after all, a great goddess, and she doesn't die. No one dies, and of course she came back later as Parvati, and again married Shiva. So he took her body, and in a mad rage, taking her body, he started dancing all over the universe, and all the gods became very disturbed and alarmed, and they were afraid that there's not the time for the destruction of the universe. Lord Shiva dances madly, his Tandava Nritya. By Krishna's dancing, he enchants all the worlds. Lilayatena bhuvanani jayatyajasa. Or ananda chinmaya rasatmate amanasu. Yep. By his dancing, he enchants all the worlds. And by Shiva's dancing, he destroys. Lilayatena bhuvanani jayam. By Lord Shiva's dancing, he destroys the worlds. But it wasn't the time for that. So the demigods appealed to Vishnu, who was unable to. Shiva wasn't listening to anyone. He was just in anger. One forgets everything. It's one of the lessons of Bhagavad Gita. It's analyzed: krodhat pavati sammoha. Vritibhangshad. Svritibhangshad buddhi nashat. One's memory of what he should do, what he shouldn't do, and intelligence is spoiled. So Lord Vishnu, ultimately, he, sending his Sudarshan Chakra, cut the body of Sati into many pieces, which fell in various places of this Bharata Varsha, and most of them are in the land which is now politically designated as India. One or two are in Pakistan, there are others in Pakistan, Nepal, Bangladesh, and Sri Lanka also. Generally it's said there are 51, and that's been noted, that's the same number of aksharas, or letters in the Sanskrit alphabet. Letters, we say, they're sounds, actually. The letters are symbolic representations of sound. Sound comes first. Letters are dependent on the sound. But exactly the correlation, there may be no correlation, maybe like that. There are different numbers of Shakti Pitas, which are given in various sources, but generally it's given as 51. And not all the lists of 51, they exactly coalesce, but most of them, especially the very famous ones, they're all included in that. For instance, one of the most famous is of Bimala at Puri. We know that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he named his sons after various forms of We could say there are also gopis by the same name, but these are prominent names of Lakshmi or Shakti, the Devi, with the names Kamala Prasad, Anada Prasad, Lalita Prasad, Bimala Prasad. Bimala Prasad, later famous as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, was born in Puri, where the Shakti there is Bimala. Bimala, in standard Sanskrit pronunciation and in Bengali, and Uriya, this Puri of course is in Orisha, so that Bimala is pronounced Bimala, and that temple of Bimala Devi is within the compound of the Jagannath temple, and until recently, as at all the Shaktipitas, there was offerings of flesh and wine. So that's Bimala is always in the lists. The most considered, the most important is Kamakya at Guwahati. That's considered. There are 51 places corresponding to different parts of the body of Sati, which fell down, and at Kamakya is the vagina. So that's considered the most important, because she's the mother, she's the generating principle. Janana, janani, father and mother. It means the janana means the generating organ, the sexual organ. Janaka is father, and janani is the mother. So everything comes from her in this material world. That's considered most important. Another reason it may be, we can link that to the cults, especially the tantric cults, which are centered on her worship, which sexual union is part of the worship. This is Tantra, and this is not according to Veda. Tantra is not Veda. In fact, the tantrics, although in an attempt to include everything within Hinduism so as to try to protect it from conversion to other religions, the modern proponents of Hinduism, they like to include tribal people with their tribal religions, which are not Vedic religions, and the tantrics within Hinduism. But it's not, you can call it Hinduism, but it's not Vedic culture. And the tantrics, especially the left-wing tantrics, that's nothing to do with modern political terminology. That is from Vama, Dakshina, left and right. So Tantra literally means to weave. It means to do something or activity. So Tantra is in high-class Vaishnavism also. They're delineating the different activities which are to be done in the worship of Vishnu. The left-wing Tantrism is involved with blood sacrifice and sex and in the name of worship and so many things. So Kamakya, Guwahati. Kamakshi at Kanchi, famous, important. Holy place, Chamundeshwari at Mysuru. Bhamaramba at Sri Sailam. Mahalakshmi at Kolhapur. She's considered one of the Shaktis in the Shakti cult. Although, they consider Lakshmi to be a manifestation of the material energy, they'll have a different understanding altogether. Although Mahalakshmi at Kolhapur, of course, is the wife of Srinivas at Tirumala. Biraja at Jajpur, Mangalagori at Gaya, Vishalakshi at Kashi, Mahakali at Kolkata, Kanyakumari, these are some of the most prominent, famous places of Shakti, which are included in all the lists. They're Shakti Pitas, they're Shakti Pitas. And I gave just now the names of the form of Shakti in particular places. But they're not Tirthas. They're not, the word Tirtha and Pita, they're different words. Tirtha means a place for crossing over. Pita means a place for sitting, for staying. You don't want to go. The idea is not. And the idea may be you go to Devi and you ask for her to help you cross over your immediate problems, but the idea of crossing out of this world, no, she's of this world, and people who approach her, they're not interested in crossing out of this world. There may be some, I'll get to that a little later, the tantrics, so they have some idea of crossing out of this world. But for most people who go to her, they're not interested in crossing out of this world. They want benedictions for this world. And indeed, most people who go to even Vishnu Tirthas, they want benedictions for this world. But Vishnu, his very nature is to try to help people come out of the illusion of wanting to stay in this world. But with Shakti, there's is like a pact. Okay, I help you, you help me, but there's nothing actually you can help her. But then it doesn't matter because she's the mother. She's just expected to give. You give me this. Prabhupada would often quote from Chandi, that's the Chandi part in Markandeya Purana. I doubt very much if Prabhupada ever studied that, but he must have heard it, chanted so many times, the prayers to Chandi. Chandi literally means the Chandakopa is a name for Narasimhadev. So Kopa means anger and Chanda means intense. So it means a very intense and implied angry form, Chandi. So in the prayers to her, Prabhupada would quote, how do they pray? Dhanam dehi, yasham dehi, Rupavati Bharya Dehi, give me this, just so you go to a mother, give me this, give me this, give me this. Give me wealth, give me fame, give me a beautiful wife. So it's demands from her. And shameless, because there's no shame in going to a mother and saying, give me this, give me that. But it's small children. They simply demand, and that's expected. Later it's expected that they would become more grown up, and then they not just demand, and then they gradually they learn they have to serve the mother also, until at the end of the mother's life, it's the relationship is reversed, and the children have to serve the elderly parents, who are, especially if the elderly parents are incapacitated, although we also see elderly people who go on working hard practically up to the end of their life. But the idea that you beg something from a mother and you expect her to give, and but you have to do something to try to make her happy, and there's some idea that especially these Shakti Pitas, many of them, or most of them, they are ferocious forms of Shakti. She has her pacific forms also, peaceful forms, as Parvati, Lalita, Durga. Well, it's not so peaceful. I mean, she's riding on a lion, has 10 hands to kill. But there are more peaceful forms. But the forms of, I gave some description of 2 days ago of Chamundi and was it? Oh, Chinnamastika. Yeah, it's a long way from worship of beautiful Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan, with a cut off her own head and she's drinking her own blood. And so the forms of Kali, which in one sense, if you, Kali, very black, blackish, very black complexion. And if you just see the physical form, which you do see a lot of, because usually the breasts are exposed, the form is that of a beautiful young woman, with the exception of that Chamundeshwari, who's she's in the form of an old woman. But beautiful young woman, but then her face shows her anger and her terrible aspect. So the Pritas, they're not Tirtas, they're for people in this world. Now, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, those who worship the demigods go to the demigods. But not necessarily, because people who want to stay here, they may not go to the demigods. The higher level of demigod worship, you may go to join the demigod in the demigod's planet. But then she's here in this world, and you want to stay in this world, and you come back in this world. She has her Shakti Pita, her seats of power in this world. She shows she's in this world. She's not for taking you to a... She's worshipped specifically for boons for this world. And people come, they want protection, blessings for protection. My wife is pregnant, may she have a safe delivery, because it was previously, it used to be very common that there would be a miscarriage, or the child would be stillborn, or very common within a few days or 1 month of childbirth, that the child would die. So prayers for protection, protection from death. We may think how pleasant it is, peaceful life, living in the country, but the threat of death, or the danger, is always there. Snakes, scorpions, floods, lightning. So living in nature means living in Vrindavan means living on the lap of Krishna, and living in nature means living on the lap of the mother Shakti, Prakriti. She is nature. So she may give good harvests, or she, Krishna says, Tapami aham aham varsham nigrinami utsrijami cha. That I, as the sun, I burn, I give heat and light, and I either give or withhold the rain, but that's done through his shadow energy, the material energy. Srishti sthiti pralaya sadhana shakti reka chayeva yasya bhuvanani bibharti durga ichhana rupam api yasya cha cheshta te sa Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. It's like a shadow. If you move your hand in the sunlight, you'll see the shadow moves it. The shadow is dependent on the original form. So Durga, she executes the functions of this material world as the shadow potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. So people who are not in knowledge, they're in the shadow, they take the shadow power to be reality, and it is very powerful. Very, very powerful. Krishna Surya Shama Maya Hoy Ondhaka Jaha Krishna Tahanahi Maya Adhika. People who don't know that Krishna is the original sun, they take the darkness or the shadow to be reality. So people take this material world and material energy to be the ultimate reality. And she is very powerful, no doubt. But all her power, what is that? Yad yad vibhuti matsavam srimad urjitam evava tat tad eva avikaccha tam mama tejongsha sambhavam. Krishna says that all this tremendous power of the material world, it's simply a trace, just a trace of my power. And then Arjuna asks for some manifestation of that power, which Krishna shows as the Vishvarupa, the universal form. And Arjuna, who's seen many amazing things in his lifetime, he's been to the heavenly worlds, he's heard all stories of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe while traveling in the... Well, he was raised with sages, and then he went back to the Pandavas went back to the forest to live with the sages in their period of exile. He's fought with demons not of this world, then Nivatakavachas, and he's seen, he's been around, he's not an inexperienced boy, but he was also overwhelmed and distraught at seeing Krishna manifesting all the opulence of the material energy all in one place and one time. So from our perspective, we are very small, Krishna is very great, and even though from Krishna's perspective, this whole material energy is just insignificant. For us, it's very significant, and we become astonished if some massive storm, some big fire, some big mountain, we become surprised, some waterfall, just as child, I remember seeing, a teenager, I was standing next to some waterfall, not big or famous, but quite a drop, and just being mesmerized, and just almost like hypnotized. I stood there for just a long time, just looking at it. It's so entrancing. So we become entranced by this material, and it's very powerful, and she can make or break us. Grasishnu Prabhavishnuta, Krishna says that as Paramatma, he devours and develops everything. This is how Srila Prabhupada has translated this, or maybe Hayagriva put that in a very poetic way. He eats everything up, swallows everything, destroys. And then again, he brings into being. So this is done through the agency of the material energy. It's so very powerful. And we in our present situation, feel ourselves to be at the mercy of this material energy. Of course, those who are enlightened, they know that she is the shadow potency of Vishnu. And therefore, not only is there no need to worship Shakti, because she works as the maidservant of Govinda, but we also shouldn't, because our worship should be directed toward Krishna. Secondarily or temporarily we may do so, just like, for instance, if we happen to be in the vicinity of a temple of Durga, we may go and offer our respect to her as a great personality in the service of Krishna. But regularly we don't worship, and we don't want to associate with those who generally do worship her, who are materialistic. And they worship for boons of this world. May the crops come out well. May there be sufficient rain and not too much. Now this couple are getting married. May they have a long, peaceful, happy life with many children. These are the kind of prayers that are prayed to Shakti, the power that is throughout this whole world. The scientists have so-called discovered and harnessed electrical energy, radio waves. they've analyzed how light waves, and then they use X-ray and ultraviolet. They're harnessing the different energies of this world, atomic power. But there's one power which is the source of all those powers. She's all-pervading and active and streaming throughout. Her waves are there throughout the whole world. And that is the Shakti, who cannot be accessed by any scientific, so to speak, means, but she can be accessed by the process of worshipping her. There's a process to access and take advantage of it. Nuclear power. The atoms are there, but how to access that and take advantage of it, that requires some system. How to access and take advantage of light? Well, of course, the light is there, but how to accentuate that? Very simply, one may use a magnifying glass, and then you can, if you have some thin paper and a magnifying glass in the hot sun, then you can burn the paper. The paper will burst into flames. So electric energy is there. How to access it and utilize it. So it's the system is there, how one we can worship this energy and take advantage for our propitious life within this, getting boons for living within this material world. Now, according to the anthropologists and students of religion who waste their lives studying all these things without ever coming to the proper understanding, because they approach in the wrong way altogether, they don't want to propitiate Shakti or Krishna. They want to study. They want to take a superior position. You are the object of my study, and I will classify you. I will explain you, but they cannot understand. So they have the idea that, you see, originally there was the tribal and village people. They used to worship local gods, who they thought the tree is this tree, or we'll worship this mountain, or we'll imagine that there's the goddess of our village. And later on that got merged with the Vedic cult of worship of the different demigods. These village gods and different spirits, they got the goddesses, they got merged with the Vedic cult of worship of Devi Aman. And they have these ideas, anthropological ideas. It's round the other way, actually. She is there. She's not in imagination. And to the followers of Vedic Dharma, she manifests in a form that is with rules, rituals of worship, and for less developed people by less developed, yeah, intellectually, culturally, karmically, they worship her as some village goddess, and they give some name. But it's the same person manifesting herself in different ways, and it's not that they're all just some. There was a big bang, and then zoom forward a long way, and you got human beings, and they're running around naked, and some of them became more civilized, and some were less civilized, and then they all merged it into Hinduism. They're all rubbish ideas. So we don't accept that. But we do accept there are different levels of her worship. Now, regarding these Shakti Pits, many of them are in the same place as where Shiva is, Vishnu is, mostly with Shiva temples. Just like, or with Vishnu. Bimala in Puri is in a Vishnu temple. In Puri also there's the, everywhere there are Shiva temples. There's Lokanath temple is there. Jameshwar temple is there in Puri. But with Shiva temples most. Just like Kamakshi in Kanchi is close to the Ekambareshwar temple of Shiva, and the Vishnu Kanchi is at some more distance. Brahmarambar at Sri Sailam. Sri Sailam is well known for the worship of that Mallikarjuna, that Mallikarjuna Tirtha, it's called, a form of Lord Shiva. Now, we have a record of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visiting so many holy places. He's born and raised in Navadvip, and the first holy place he went to was Gaya, which is famous as a place of Vishnu worship, or is actually more famous as a place of Shraddh. It's, people go there for Shraddh, not specifically to worship of Vishnu is required, but it's not exactly in the mood of, it's not known as a place of devotion, let's put it that way. It's a place of karma kandiya rituals. That's also, Gaya is also the place of Mangala Gauri, one of the Shakti Pitams. But there's no record of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visiting that Shakti Pitam when he was in Gaya. On his journey from Navadvip, when he took sannyas, he first crossed the Ganga, and then he went to Katwa on the western bank of the Ganga. And then he came, wandered around for 3 days, and then was brought by Nityananda Prabhu back to the eastern bank of the Ganga, to Shantipur. From the western bank is Kalna, also known as Ambika Kalna, so that's also a place of Shakti worship. But there's nothing mentioned about him doing any Shakti worship there. Then he came, after he left Shantipur, heading toward Puri, he came down the east bank of the Ganga, as far as Chhatrabhog, and then he crossed over again to the western bank. In between is what is now the city of Calcutta, and already already Mahakali was there, Shaktipitam, major Shaktipitam, long before the city of Calcutta was developed. There's no record of him visiting the Shaktipitam at Kolikata, Kalighat. Then he came coming down. He went to Ramuna, came to Jajpur, where there is the Viraja River and Viraja Devi, but it's famous for the temple of Varaha. It's mentioned he visited the temple of Varaha. It's not mentioned that he visited the temple of Viraja Devi. In Puri, of course, it's mentioned so many times he visited the Jagannath temple, visited the Indrajumna Sarovara, the Narendra Sarovara, the Jagannath Vallabh Gardens at the entrance or just inside the entrance of Jagannath Temple, Nrisimha deities, all these places are mentioned. But it's never mentioned that he visited the Bimala Devi in Puri. It's mentioned he went to Sri Sailam. It's never mentioned that he visited the Brahmaramba temple there. He visited in Kashi. It said he went to the Vishveshwara, Vishwanath temple. It's never mentioned that he went to the Vishalakshmi temple. So he did visit Kolhapur, but then he wouldn't have. He would see her as Lakshmi, not as the external energy. He would see her as the internal energy. And of course, he visited Madurai, which is famous as a temple of Devi. Although it's actually Meenakshi and Sundareshwara. The whole point is that this is her place, and Sundareshwara Shiva came for marriage there. And Kanyakumari, he visited there. So it's mentioned a few of the places connected with Devi. Otherwise, it's not mentioned. There's so many important places, it never mentioned that he visited at all. So in the same way, the Vaishnavas, they're not very much interested in visiting these holy places. It's holy for the unholy. People who like blood and staying in this material world, wine, they may be more attracted to these places. And at Kanyakumari, for instance, there's no such thing. That's a higher level of Devi worship is going on there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited there. Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur in his tour of South India visited there. And Hare Krishna. I'll finish there for today. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripasindrubhyascha patita.
Swami Maharaj ki jai.